Good evening, beloved. Praise the Lord. Hey, you just say good morning. Oh, what a day. Hallelujah. I had to get up today and go do some painting. I'm really enjoying the carpentry work the Lord has led me to do. I kept praying, Lord, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Walking in my own stupid life. God have mercy. Frustrated, trying to figure things out. And God said, work with your hands. That's what the scripture says. Settle down, live a quiet life, mind your business, work with your hands. Amen. And so he said, what are you talented at? So I just said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. So I just started doing carpentry work and working on people's houses and building things. And oh man, it's every single day is supernatural. I went to this lady's house. Very interesting. I used to live close to the lady, and when I went to, somebody told her about me, doing work in houses. And so she called me and I went to give her an estimate for painting. And when I sat down to give the lady the estimate, she said, I told her, I used to own a house a couple houses down from you. She said, oh my goodness, does your wife sell like flip-flop shoes? And I said, yeah. She said, you came here and you prayed with my family. Like in 2008 or 7 or something, 9, something like that. It was way back then. And I didn't even remember that. But I remember back then, I was feeling really convicted because we were traveling overseas and I was a pastor and I didn't even talk to my own neighbors. And I know I did it as a work back then. It really wasn't the fullness of God's life, but I was just trying to do something right. I went and knocked on their door. But it was interesting that they remembered that. And I didn't preach at people. I just went and knocked on their door and said, hey, I'm your neighbor and I'm here for you if you need. Is there anything I can pray with you about? And they gave me some prayer requests and I prayed for them. They said, right then, she said, my kids never forgot that. And so I go to her house today and I'm painting. And she said, I got a question for you. I was, as a matter of fact, every day, the gospel gets preached. Every day. There's not a day that goes by. I don't preach at least 40 minutes to 4 hours without exaggeration with somebody because of the life of Jesus. I'm not trying. I want you to understand. I'm not trying to tell you how great I am or what I'm doing. It's just when you really believe and give up your own life, you'll begin to see the life of Jesus Christ, the weightiness of his words, the power of his life. So I'm in there painting this lady's hallway, laying on the floor with my paintbrush. And I've been there for 2 days painting. And I said, God, I always share the gospel. But yesterday, I didn't really share with her yesterday. I shared with somebody else, but I didn't share with her. So I said, Lord, what's going on here? I said, I know you'll, I said, I trust you with this, Lord. And just a few minutes later, she said, hey, I got a question for you. And she asked me a question. And I began to explain the real gospel to her. I even said things like, you know, Jesus said you either hate money or you hate God. And he told me that. And I told her whenever he said that to me, I was like, God, that's not even fair. And she really understood it. She understood the gospel about giving up our life and why he had to come and why we had to die on that cross. And it was so powerful. Now, this morning, she had went to the hospital because her finger is locked. They call it trigger finger. And it's been locked for a while. So she went to the hospital this morning, and so she told me how to get in the house through the garage. And so after sharing the gospel with her, I was standing there and I remembered her hand, and I said, what did you say was wrong with your hand? And she said, I have like trigger finger, it's locked and it's been like this for a while. I said, come here. I said, let me pray for you. She said, oh, okay, And she put her hand in mine, and then I put my other hand on top of it, and it just said a simple prayer. And then I said, now stretch out that hand. And she goes, I can't, it's locked. And I said, no, stretch it out. And she pop, and her finger just popped, pow. It just popped out. And she goes, oh. But what was amazing is she was in shock. I thought she'd like be jumping around going, hallelujah, and crying or something, but she was just in shock. She looked at that and she goes, is it gonna go back? I said, no, it's good. And so, and she immediately she went out on her porch. She never did that the whole time I was there, but she just turned around and walked outside on her porch and just sat there and thought about that for like 15 minutes. And she come back in a little while later, and I hollered back out. I was painting in the room. I said, "Hey, how's that hands? Is it still good?" She goes, "Oh yeah, it's completely fine." She was just in shock. But it's God. It's just God. It's so easy. There's nothing you have to do but give up your own life. I guess there is something you got to do. But what I meant was, when you're walking in his life, you don't have to try. You don't have to think, what am I supposed to say? Or how am I supposed to pray for the sick? Or how am I supposed to cast a devil out? It just happens. It's nothing that you plan. It's nothing that you try to do. And friend, it's very important that you understand the gospel comes first. Every time in the Bible, the pattern is preach the gospel, then cast out devils and heal the sick. The reason we can't cast out devils and heal the sick is because we don't really understand the gospel. We're not preaching it. The more I really grasp it, the more everything I say sounds exactly like the things Jesus said. Everything I say sounds like, when I'm talking to people about the gospel and the things that Paul said about the cross, you put those two together, you have a powerful encounter with someone where they recognize and they have to give up their life. And I believe that's why the lady went out on her porch and she wasn't jumping up and down and so excited, is because she had just been confronted with a gentle, loving, but absolutely challenging word from the Lord, where it was like, you either got to give up your life or lose it. You either hate your life or you're going to lose it. If you love it, you're going to lose it. And so she just began to realize that. And then when she saw her hand instantaneously healed like that, it was even more of a confrontation, because now you couldn't reason away the word. This is why healing is so important. It's why the power of God, the genuine power of God, is so important, because whenever that power is there, you can't explain away what you've heard. It's so vitally important. And I'm shocked almost every miracle I'm seeing. The people don't jump up and down for joy. The people are shocked and they're dumbfounded. And they have to begin to count the cost of what they've just heard, because now it's been confirmed with power. And it causes them to be confronted with the truth, and they cannot deny it. It's so amazing. I remember this other guy, I walked up to him recently. I was actually doing some census work a couple months ago. I walked up and I saw something in his eye. It was just a little brown spot in his right eye. And when I saw it, I heard the Lord say, "Kenneth, cirrhosis." That's what I heard the Lord say, "Kenneth, cirrhosis." And I didn't know. I was doing census work, so I didn't know what to do, and I'm supposed to just be doing my job. But he talked for a couple minutes and I couldn't pay attention to it. I said, "Man, I'm sorry, but I got to tell you something." I said, "When as soon as I walked up, I saw a brown spot in your eye." And the Lord said, "Kenneth, cirrhosis." And he looked at me in shock, and he just sat there staring at me with his eyes real big. He didn't say anything for a few seconds. And then he said, "My brother just died a few months ago." It was like 2 or 3 months ago. "My brother died." He said his name's Kenneth, and he died of cirrhosis. And I'm sitting there thinking inside, why did God tell me about this guy's brother that died? And so inside I'm praying, "Lord, why did you tell me that?" And the Lord said, "I want him to know that I see everything and I understand the pain that he's facing and going through." And so I told that man that. And then he began to tell me, with tears in his eyes, he began to tell me that he lost his parents last year in a house fire. The house caught on fire, and his dad was trying to get to his mom because his mom was sleeping. And he ran through the hallway to get his mom, but then the smoke overtook him and killed them both. And then he lost his brother a year later. But I was sharing the gospel with this man. And he was just sitting there, you know, after hearing such a powerful word of knowledge and hearing this gospel, and he really didn't know what to do. The response that I'm getting now is a lot different. I was always looking for some excitement and looking for some thrill and looking. Listen, the real gospel is a confrontation, but it's always done in extreme gentleness. I mean, it's amazing how it flows with gentleness. And you're not trying to preach at somebody. You're not trying to look for, you know, I'm supposed to say something. I'm supposed to witness to somebody. I'm supposed to do something. It's just God. It just flows every day. Every day as we walk in his life. This is what he has for us, friend. This is the life of Jesus Christ. When we really walk in it, every day is supernatural. Every day your words have weight and they flow like honey. And everyone you talk to, God just gives you the words to say immediately. And it's just gospel. It's just truth. It's the things Jesus talked about. And it brings such a revelation and confrontation to people that on the inside, they're counting the cost. And when the power is demonstrated, it's even more shocking. And now they're really counting the cost. It's just amazing. But the Lord wants us to walk in this life, friend. But the only way that we'll ever walk in the life of Jesus is to really give up our own and believe what he accomplished. He did it, friend. He crucified us because we could not do it. What the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did it. My God, by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, very important, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. May God give you a revelation of that. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What the law couldn't do, all the commandments, all our trying, all our effort to live for God and serve God with our life, it doesn't work. It will never work. That's why we had to die. That's why we had to die. That's what John 3:16 is about. It's Nicodemus coming to Jesus. And he said, Nicodemus, no man can enter into heaven. The only one that ever entered into heaven is the one that came down from heaven. You need a new life. Amen. That's what John 3:16 is about. God loved us so much that he sent his son to die in our place. He took our life to that cross so we could have what God calls everlasting life, which is perpetual Zoe. It's the life of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the Zoe. I'm it. That we could have the perpetual Zoe. What God has for us is perfect peace. What God has for us is perfect gentleness. What God has for us is perfect wisdom. Absolute perfect wisdom. Where you just walk in his life. And everywhere you go, you encounter people and you share with them. This is the life of Jesus Christ. And friend, the supernatural is like second, I don't know, how do you say it? It's like second nature. It's like, I don't even know the word I'm looking for. It's just natural. It's just normal. It's just normal. And you just praise the Lord. You just walk in it. And it's just beautiful. You don't have to try to do anything. You just do it. You just walk in the life of Jesus Christ. But the only way is to understand the truth, understand the cross. And every dark thing, every deception is to keep you from understanding fully what took place at that cross. You have to see that you died there. You have to know why you had to die there. And then you have to deny your life and look to lay hold of his life. And it's painful, man. It's painful to give up ourself. Everything we do is for self-preservation. Even all of our prayers, it's like 99% of our prayers is all about God, me, I, me. It's us, and it's nothing more than religion. It's not the real thing. The cross is the only way, and churches don't preach the cross anymore. It's because they don't understand it. It's not because they're bad. Of course, we're all bad, but they just don't understand it. And many of them do not want to understand it because it will cost them everything. The cross does not promote you. The cross does not bless you. The cross does not make you rich and prosperous. No, friend. The cross puts an end to you. The cross puts an end to you so you can walk in the life of the last Adam. And as long as you want to survive, and as long as you want God to promote you, and as long as you want God to exalt you, and as long as you want God to meet your need and take care of you, you can't walk in it. It's impossible. It's not possible at all. And that's why they said, Jesus, who then can be saved? He said, what's impossible with man? That means it's impossible. Jesus doesn't lie. It is impossible. Peter said, who then could be saved? He was talking about the rich man. The rich man's doing everything right. He's going to church. He's paying his tithes. He's doing all the things he's supposed to do. And yet Jesus said, you lack something. And he walks away sad. And Peter's looking at that like, man, this guy's a million times better than me. He said, who then can be saved? Jesus said, it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And Peter's like, who then can be saved? Jesus said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Praise God. What you can't do, He did it. So you need to believe what he did and confess what he did, even if you don't see it yet. Believe that you died there. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of that cross to you and bring every thought captive to what he accomplished there. And I encourage you, quit listening to nonsense that's being preached that doesn't talk about the real cross of Jesus Christ. Stop it. It's polluting you. Look to the cross. Look to the cross. That is where the power is. That's where the life is found. It's found through our death. It's found through our crucifixion. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. This isn't some confession for your natural man. My God, don't pollute it. This is not a confession for our natural man. Oh, now I'm Jesus. Now I got the life of Jesus. No, you ain't got nothing. You died. You either are the life of Jesus or you're the life of the first Adam, one or the other. And so it's not something that we get. It's not something that we get so we can display how great we are. No. It's something that we become when we reject the old man, when we turn away from the life we were born with and lay hold of the life we were created for from the beginning. God bless you today, beloved, in Jesus' name. Amen.